And
okay, we're on. Wow, all the modern stuff. Great to see you again. We've been looking forward to coming back up. I was a year and 8 months up here, and boy, I remember coming up the icy roads I used to come from Boone, and we had a great time. My first time with you was when we were still in the post office. I preached two times in the post office. Now, that goes back a long ways. I was just a little bitty kid then. But we had a great time up there, and I was with the group when we come out here to look at the building and prayed. I think we took hold of hands and prayed about buying. This was a government building at one time, wasn't it? Yeah. And we prayed about it, and they bought the building and went to work on it. And so I go back a few years, and I have still been preaching pretty steadily. I'm 83 now, but I've got to start slowing down. And just had shingles. That didn't help me any. And but God healed me all up, and I'm feeling good tonight, so look out. Okay. Yeah. I want to talk to you. Well, by the way, happy Father's Day, guys. Huh? Grandpas, happy Father's Day. Our son-in-law here and our daughter from Olathe, Kansas, suburb of Kansas City, and they heard that we were coming up here, and they come home to be with us, and said they wanted to come up with us. I don't think you guys had ever been here before, have you? No, they had never been up here before. So anyway, it's good to be here. I want to speak to you today on a topic that I think is apropos for any time, any place, especially nowadays. And basically, I call this little talk Jabez, a role model. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Chronicles 4, 9, and 10. A portion of scripture that I saw that just kind of caught my eye and underlined a few lines in it. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to talk about it. Jabez, I got to get it right here. Jabez. A role model. Beginning of verse 9, chapter 4 of 1 Chronicles, it says, "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in pain.'" And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, and that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. Father God, I pray you'll put your anointing on these few words, portion of scripture, and you would anoint me to proclaim the best that I can get out of this. In Jesus' name, touch every heart. You know what the need is. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Jabez was a role model. That's what I classify him as, a role model. And you can read more about Jabez, basically. Back, clear back in Genesis, the 34th chapter and verse 19, the Bible says that Jabez was more honorable than all the other leaders at that particular time. And he was more honorable than all the rest of the household of his own father. He was a unique young man, and grew up unique as an older man. And so I think it's worth looking at here for us as a role model, because I think most of us would like to be used of God. We want to have a good reputation. We want to raise our families right. We just want to do right. Amen? And so it's good when we have a role model like Jabez that can help us with this. Now, the first thing that I see in this particular verse, in verse 9, it says he was a man of honor. He was a man of honor. And you can just put it down in your book that he was a man of the word. He was a man of the word. He was fair-minded, the Bible says. He was a fair-minded person. He treated people fairly. And he was honorable in all that he did. He honored God. He honored his constituents. He honored his family. Man, you can't get a higher goal than that. To raise your families, to fear God and to serve God and to do God's work. I'm so thankful our son, who lives just a couple blocks from our daughter in Olathe, Kansas, when he got out of college and he went out, he was drafted by Montreal. He turned them all down because he had made a decision before they ever called him that he was going to go into God's work one way or the other. And he has one of the greatest ministries in Olathe, Kansas today that anybody knows about. He ministers in Timminson. He worked with him because they work together. And that's a blessing to us. But he was a man of the word. He was fair-minded. He was honorable. And the reason was because it was something that was bestowed on him because of something that he earned. And this is what we have to do. We have to earn God's blessing by being honest and work hard. But when the Bible talks about God's blessing, it's almost always related to the law and to the word. How we deal with, how we treat, how we love, how we share the word of God with people. I'm going to tell you something. You get a church full of people who leave this building determined to share what God has given them with the people they work with and this kind of stuff, and it'll be full in no time. I worked 47 years with heavy equipment. I've never done anything else but preach. I run heavy equipment for 47 years. I've been around the hard noses, filthiest mouthed people you've ever seen in your life. But I tried to be faithful to get the gospel to these men as much as I could, and I've had the privilege of praying with many of them. Some of them standing right alongside my backhoe that I was running when we was doing Ames Hospital. Come out of the building with tears in his eyes, this wrestler from South Dakota. I'll just give you an example. This wrestler from South Dakota, he'd been down there and heard me talking with these guys in the boiler room. It was pretty kind of chilly by then. Anyway, I was just getting ready to bring my machine off the job, and up walked this young man. He had tears in his eyes. I said, "Gary, what's wrong?" I thought maybe he was having a heart attack or something. He said, "Don," he says, "I got to talk with you." He says, "You keep talking about how you know for sure if you died you're going to go to heaven." He said, "How can you be so positive about that? You know for sure you're a Christian and you're going to heaven. How can you know that?" I said, "Well, here," and I pulled my little New Testament out and went over to 1 John. "This is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son." "See, Gary," I said, "this life isn't in a church. It's not in a denomination. Nobody can give it to you. It's in his Son." I said, "You get eternal life when you receive Christ into your life." Well, I could tell he was wanting to know what the next move was. And I moved right on over to Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," Jesus said. "If any man hears my voice and will open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." I said, "Gary, all you have to do right now, right where we're standing." He was already praying, I think, before I even finished. And he was inviting Jesus to come into his life. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I want to be a role model. I don't know about you. And I want to teach others how to be role models. And because it's one of the things needed. He was a man of the word. The Bible says he was a fair-minded person and honorable. And that was something that was bestowed on him. It's always something that's given to us. And because of something that he earned. And that's important. It's almost always related to the law and to the word. For an example, marriage is honorable and all and the bed undefiled. That's what the Bible says. Marriage is honorable and all and the bed undefiled. Why is it honorable? It's because it's done according to God's word. Not so in many cases today. But years ago, they used to get married according to God's laws. And they followed God's laws. And that's why those marriages were honorable and they turned out some great people. When it's done according to God's laws and the laws of the land, God will bless it. Huh? Talking about marriage, the Bible says God has married us to one husband. Who is that? Christ. When we get married, my wife and I've been married now for a lot of years, but we were married honorably and according to the laws of the land, and this kind of, and that's why marriage is honorable. Now, it isn't honorable the way they're doing it nowadays in many cases. There's no honor in men marrying men and women marrying women. You'll never get God's blessing on that because that's totally contrary to God's law and his word. Somebody say amen. Huh? Don't forget to remind him of that where you're working. He was an honorable man because he was a man of the word. And he lived according to God's plan in his life. He was a man of prayer also. In verse 10, look at verse 10. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." Well, he was a man of prayer. He called on God. He wanted God's favor in everything he did. Listen, run your business honorably, and God will bless that. He'll make you to succeed. But he was a man of prayer, and he called on God. It's the word and prayer that make a powerful force. God's word and prayer. Get that word into your heart and learn how to pray the word of God, and you've got dynamite. Huh? That's right. That's where the word dunamis comes from. That's where dynamite comes. It's the Greek. It's dunamis. The word in our heart is like dynamite when we learn how to use it right. And I want to say to you as fathers today and coming up fathers and everything, raise your family to fear God, to know the word of God. And you'll have the blessings of God. And everybody said, amen. Amen. He was a man of prayer. He called on God. He wanted God's word. And he wanted his favor in his life. And prayer, the word and prayer together are a powerful force. Because God's promises are not going to go unheard. It's a powerful force. God will honor his word when we use it. It's a powerful force. It's like I said before. And we try everything but prayer, don't we? Sometimes we try everything but prayer. This is where we ought to begin in most of our difficulties. What we need in our country today is we need churches that know how to pray God's word. And they're praying according to God's will when they pray his word. And God will hear. God will honor that. He'll honor the church. He'll honor the people. And let me come back to the men again, since it's Father's Day. The fathers are supposed to be the spiritual leaders of the home. The fathers are supposed to be the spiritual leader. It's standing on its head today, our society. The women are doing most of the ministry to the children in most homes. Dad is supposed to be going to be held accountable for the spiritual condition of their children. I don't care how much time he gives his wife or grandma or whoever it is. But we need men of prayer. That's what Jabez was. He called on God, the Bible says, when he had needs. We try everything but prayer. Acts 3:19 says, talks about the fact that we need to... what does it say? I started to say it and I lost it. Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and being converted. I think that's it, isn't it? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. We need that. Is that right? Acts 3:19? But anyway, we need that. And repent ye and be converted, I think it says. Therefore, and be converted. Is that right? Did I get it right? Okay. That's what we need. We need repentance. Asking God, God, what can I do? How can I do it? I don't want to go out and just do something. I want to do something that's right, something that honors God. That's what everything Jabez did, he honored God. He's a role model. If we follow Jabez's things here, we're going to go someplace. But we try everything but prayer. And therefore, we fail a lot of times. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, your outline says it the same as mine. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their land. And that's what we need today. If my people, it begins with you, Dad, with you, Grandpa, with you, young man, learn to be the spiritual leader in your home and God will bless your home more than you can imagine. Somebody say amen again. Huh? Oh, let me tell you something. You young men are going to be fathers someday and you don't want your kids to grow up with with anything but God's wisdom in their hearts. You know? You got to have God's wisdom to get to succeed in these days. If my people, notice the big if. We're always one big if from victory. If they had only just called on God, they would have been successful. They would have had those things. Don't make it an if in your life. Put God first and then it won't be iffy. You can count on it. Huh? You bet. He can help you to do anything except play the guitar and the drum. I wish I had that talent. I can't play the record player myself. But the thing of it is, whatever we're doing, whether we're playing the drums or whatever we're doing, we do it to the glory of God, and God will bless it. Do it to help other people to grow in their faith. Get the right motive behind what you're doing. And you pray about that, and God will help you to understand that. We need that prayer, even when we're teaching or whatever we're doing. We need to be constantly aware of our limitations. Praying people are the kind of people, men, women, children, whatever age they are, that are to notice. But they're people who understand their limitations. Let me tell you something. When you get out in this world and you start doing what God called you to do as a Christian, and that is share the gospel with people and challenge the laws that they have today, you know, when you get in the face of sinners sometimes, you better make sure you got both feet on the ground, spiritually. Huh? And that's exactly what God, Jabez was. He had both feet on the ground. He was praying without, that 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray without ceasing. How do you do that? You're in an attitude of prayer all the time. Praying without ceasing is nothing more than being in an attitude of prayer all the time. Our attitude, we're thinking about God in the crucial times. We're asking God to bring the scriptures to bear to help us. But the point of it is that to pray without ceasing is to be in an attitude of prayer. I don't know how to explain that. And you say, well, how can I do that? Because I've got this job and that job. I ran the backhoes for 47 years. Cranes, backhoes, heavy equipment. And I could get up in that backhoe, and I'd done it enough years that I was planning sermons and planning ways to witness to the guys I was working with right while I was digging. I was digging, but I was also reaching out. God, give me something that I can use to win the lost. Huh? You want to develop all you can from the church here, but you do it, God will give the most to the people who have the proper motive for what they're looking for. Not just bless me, but bless me so that I can be a blessing. Come on. Huh? You see the difference? Yeah, there's a difference. We want to be a blessing. That's the kind of person Jabez was. He was a man of prayer, and he had the right motives behind all of his praying. We need to pray without ceasing. Constantly aware of our limitations. We're just not capable of doing much without God. We just can't do it without God. My third point is, he was a man of goals. Look at verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that he would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I might not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. He was a man of gold. Jabez was a man with had goals in his life. He just didn't wake up and waste time and go to bed at night and get up the next. He had goals. He was thinking about how he could be used of God. He was thinking, he knew his limitations, so he would pray specifically for those limitations. And then he would go to bed saying, God, wake me up tomorrow and put me to work with somebody that I can share the gospel with. He was a man that had goals, spiritual goals. Young people, there's all kinds of sports out there, and they've all got goals. Everything you learn about that football game is hinged in the, how do I get that ball from this place to that goal? Amen? That's the way you live your Christian life, and you'll be dynamite on the campus. I'll tell you, I worked around Iowa State University for all of those years, and I've had debates with the kids out there when I was working with them and sharing the gospel with them. And like I said, this young man walked up right by the backhoe as I was getting off and crying his eyes out. Wrestler from South Dakota. Gary Wallman, and he was had a wrestling. From Iowa State. That's why he was going to Iowa State. And anyway, he gave his life to Christ, and within a few days, he was on the road preaching for God. He went with Athletes in Action over to Europe, and traveled all over, sharing the gospel. But you got to have goals. You got to be looking for something if you want God to do something with you, and you got to be willing to pray and honor God with your life. Because your words don't mean much if your life does is something contrary. Somebody say amen. You see how that works together? Yeah, yeah. If you don't have honor with people, if they don't respect you, or you're not living the Christian life, don't open your mouth. Don't try and talk about Jesus when you're not honoring him with your life and your language and this kind of stuff. But I think most of us, even as fathers and grandfathers, we want to be a role model like Jabez. That's why these things are all important for us. He was a man of gold. Not just that he prayed, but it was what he prayed that made the difference. He wanted God's blessing. He wanted God's strength and power. He wanted all these things. He wanted influence. He says, enlarge my borders. Lord, I've witnessed everybody here. Give me more people. He was looking for more and more people. Not just one or two. He wanted God to enlarge his borders. And I want to tell you something. That works. I started preaching 2 weeks after I was converted. 40, how many years ago? 52 years ago, yeah. I'm 83 years old, so I can't remember when I was born. 53 years ago, we gave our lives to Christ, and I've been around the world preaching since then. My wife and I and two of our children have been was in the jungles of Haiti and ministering, I mean, deep into the jungles of Haiti. And I've been in Venezuela 4 times and the Philippines and this kind of stuff. But it started with a goal. I had a goal. I wanted to be the most, the best that I could possibly be from day one that I was a Christian. And I worked hard at it to train myself and to memorize scriptures. And I would lay in bed at night and work out scenarios. Now, if this guy comes up to me and says this, what am I going to... And I'd think about a verse that I'd use. You know. And you got to have some goals before you reach them. And this is what God wants. Well, I'm gonna try and close this down a little bit. We need to realize our limitations, and if we're gonna grow, because if we think we got it all together, then God can't do too much with us, you know. But we all should be in that wanting state. And my closing thoughts are these. Jabez had offspring, and the Bible says that all of Jabez's offspring were scribes. That means they were the ones who were writing the laws of God and all this kind of stuff that their scribes had to do. So Jabez, by being a man of honor, a man of prayer, and a man with goals, it affected his whole family, and his children carried on where he left off. And they were out there in the world, and they were writing the laws. They were they wrote and they taught and they defended the laws. That's what the scribes did. That's what I wanted to be when I became a Christian. God blessed me with some opportunities and helped me to do that. Are you with me? Say amen. Huh? And he said, I want all these things so that I may not grieve you, that I might not cause pain. He knew what his name meant. His mother had him at a real tussle when he was born. He didn't want to have that pain passed on to other people. You know. He didn't want to be a pain. I'll put it that way. He didn't want to be a pain. His name was bad enough. And so he worked hard at it. And he prayed that the Lord would keep him from that evil one, that I might not grieve thee. Always Jabez had a purpose for whatever he did. A purpose. When you've got a purpose, you work towards something. When you've got a purpose and a goal, I'll tell you, you work harder, you work better, and you'll appreciate it more when you get it. And everybody said, amen and amen. The Bible says God granted him what he requested, and it must have been good. Huh? He requested. Let's pray. Father, I pray that all the men are here and the young men who can understand are aspiring to be like Jabez. But having heard what it cost him and what it takes to be a Jabez, some might back off. And Lord, I wish I could just throw a rope around them, keep them right where they're at until you get this into their head that your program is the best. It works. And it has eternal rewards. There isn't a job or an entity of any kind that can give the reward that you give for faithfulness and honesty and all these other things we talked about. God, there's great rewards for a lot of people in this room, for all of them who will follow your biblical leading. Bless, God, bless the fathers and those young people who are aspiring to be fathers, especially. Make leaders out of them, first of all, in the home. That's where they're supposed to be. That's where leadership starts, with their own children, with their own wives, family. And then God bless them as they go out into their world, and they'll make an impact, a positive impact on that, wherever they go. In Jesus' name. Bow your head for just 1 minute. Let me ask you this question. Do you know for sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? Are you positive that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? I asked that question to hundreds of people, and very few of them can give me a positive answer. But I want you to know that you can have a positive answer. You can know for sure. And that is when you bow your head. The Bible says as many as would receive Christ, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. Have you ever received him? Right where you're sitting right now, just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I want to be a Jabez. I want to have your blessing. And I want the gift of eternal life. I give you my life right now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, let somebody know about it soon. Huh? If it's real, you're going to tell people about it. If you won the lottery, I'd tell everybody in town to know it, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
The lottery is peanuts compared to eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
Brothers, play some more of that good music.